Genesis 3, 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beasts in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was desired to be made one, make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. But she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and of all beasts of the field. In your belly shall you go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
Thank you. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of the sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins.
Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
Thank you.
Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
You know, it was interesting while we were singing, the group sing, and even when Colin was playing, I happened to have my fingers over the strings lightly, and they would, each one would vibrate on their own as we hit the different notes. And I thought, well, maybe that's the way our hearts should be as we hear these words and sing these songs. Our hearts should vibrate in unison with the Lord.
Clumsy words, the noise of what we often speak is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate His love, He spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the incarnation, and so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so He could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make Him mine. And so the Father's fondest thought took on flesh and bone. He spoke the living, luminous word. At once His will was done. And so the transformation that in man had been unheard took place in God the Father as He spoke that final word. He spoke the incarnation, and so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so He could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make Him mine. And so the light became alive and manna became man. Eternity stepped into time so that we could understand. He spoke the incarnation and so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so He could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make Him mine. And so was born the baby who would die to make Him mine.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth,
to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph,
of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give him unto the throne of his father David. And he shall reign forever over the house of Jacob. And of his kingdom there shall be no end."
Child, and no place to lie down. So Joseph found a stable in which Mary had her child. Once upon a Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ.
Once upon a Christmas in a manger far away, a king was born, his palace was a manger filled with hay. His royal robe was swaddling cloth, a halo was his crown. Once upon a Christmas, away in Bethlehem. And all the world rejoiced because the king had born at last. A Savior had been promised, now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas, in the birth of Jesus Christ.
Once upon a Christmas, from the far east wise men came, with gold and myrrh and frankincense, to praise the newborn King.
And shepherds left their flocks and came to see and worship Him. Once upon a Christmas, away in Bethlehem. And all the world rejoiced because the King was born at last. A Savior had been promised, now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas, and the birth of Jesus Christ. And all the world rejoiced because the King was born at last. A Savior had been promised, now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas, and the birth of Jesus Christ. Once upon a Christmas, far away.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. All tidings of comfort and joy, ever and joy. All tidings of comfort and joy.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar to Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Joseph and Mary, a match planned in heaven, that the playwright Providence brought together to act out their parts on the stage of redemption. Were they afraid? Did they doubt? Emmanuel in your struggles, God with you in your loss, your doubt, and your disappointment. As Emmanuel came into your hearts, consider Mary, a young Jewish girl with child on the grueling 80-mile road to Bethlehem. For her, it was one step at a time as she carried the child who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. and the very world her son would one day die to save. Can you hear Joseph tenderly whispering to his new bride, "Hold on for a few more miles. You're almost there."
Mary, full of innocence, carrying the holy prince, you're almost there. You're almost there. Mother of the living word, trusting in the voice you heard, you're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost where the angels see redemption's plan unfolding. All hope is in the son you bear. You're almost there. Strength to do your part.
You're almost there.
You're almost there. Trust the Father to provide bread of heaven prophesied. You're almost there.
You're almost there.
You're almost there.
You're almost there.
You're almost there. You're almost where the waiting is delivering the life within, the answer prayer, Emmanuel, you're almost there. You're almost where the journey ends, where death will die and life begins, the answer prayer, Emmanuel.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verses 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Luke 2:8-16. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Thing. One of the deadliest conflicts in human history was World War I, which raged on for 4 years and claimed more than 16 million lives. This first modern war used mechanized tanks with powerful artillery, airplanes, machine guns, and poison gas. Worst of all for soldiers was the trench warfare, where troops shot at each other from the muck and disease-filled trenches. To leave one's trench was to risk being shot and killed. The distance between the opposing trenches was known as no man's land and was littered with dead soldiers. On one side were the English and the French. hunkered down in their trenches. On the other side, doing the same, were the Germans. The war had been raging for 5 long months. The troops had hoped for a quick finish to the fighting, so to be home for the holidays. But it was not to be. Instead, the enemy forces were arrayed across from each other in foxholes in the winter of 1914. And in Flanders, France, on Christmas Eve, it was a bitter, cold night. Suddenly, an English soldier scanning the German enemy spotted a small fir tree decorated with twinkling candles. He readjusted his binoculars and squinted, disbelieving. And then, clusters of tiny lights began shining all along the German line, left and right, as far as the eye could see. And quietly, drifting across the frozen ground of no man's land, came a low rumble, not of guns or tanks, but of German soldiers singing. Softly at first, and then louder with each verse. Although the words were foreign, the carol's tune and its message of peace was unmistakable. The English and French troops responded, raising their voices and singing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Back and forth, back and forth. The men exchanged verses in English and German. This went on for several minutes. Then, from the depths of a German trench, a soldier raised a crudely written sign.
You no shoot, we no shoot.
In response, the English and French soldiers waved a ragged banner that read,
Merry Christmas!
Cautiously, the unarmed men began to emerge from their trenches. Slowly, they crossed the dreaded no man's land, where they stood face to face in the frosty air. For a moment, the highly trained soldiers didn't know quite what to do. Awkwardly, they extended and shook hands. They clapped one another's shoulders. They embraced. Some turned their heads to hide their tears. They gave each other permission to collect and properly bury their dead. They exchanged prisoners, and then, for the remainder of that miraculous night and throughout Christmas Day, they sang carols and exchanged gifts of cake, chocolates, biscuits, jam, canned beef, pork and beans, newspapers, postcards, and badges. They even played an impromptu game of soccer with a makeshift ball made from a large tin can. We laughed and joked together, having forgotten war altogether, one soldier recalled. Some of the men who hours before were shooting at each other now exchanged addresses and promised to correspond after the war. They even showed photos of their loved ones with each other. The unscheduled truce held through Christmas Day. One soldier proclaimed, "For an instant, the God of peace was once more master of this corner of the earth." Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at the birth. Be comforted. A peace treaty between God and man was accomplished by Jesus when he paid the penalty for the sins of the world on the cross. One day, there will be peace on earth. Now and forever, we can have peace for our souls. Jesus came to Bethlehem to provide a Christmas truce that never ends.
Holy, holy, holy.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to a mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
All right, I'm going to play a couple songs and invite you to join me after the first verse. Of infant holy, infant lowly, and invite you to join me at the second verse.
And bringing many souls unto glory, Make the captain of their salvation perfect through his sufferings. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
His best to be born in a manger, the King in the hay, and creation will worship his name. For the joy of the world he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the darkest of ages are done. For the Savior of heaven has come.
When I think upon Jesus, the King of all days, I can't help but
shepherds, I follow your light. Like the angels, I'll lift your name high. For the joy of the world he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of your love. Now the darkest of ages are done, for the Savior of heaven has come.
Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is on heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Thank you.
wonderful.
Don't you think? Wow.
I think we owe everybody except me a nice round of applause.
No.
Wow. And I have to say, Nick, I'm really grateful that the Army let you come here just for this occasion. We've done a lot of reading and had a lot of readings this morning, and so I would like to share with you two of the only verses, or three, that haven't been read already this morning. And it's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, and it's verses 31 through 33. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Don't you love this line? And of his kingdom there shall be no end. They told me 10 minutes. I don't think we'll even take that. I just want to leave some thoughts with you that are not original necessarily, and they are things that I have thought of in the past, but they have thrilled me again in this Christmas season. These are some of the most special verses concerning the mystery and the miracle of the incarnation. There are things contained in these verses that, to be very honest, are rather unique in Scripture. There are a number of prophecies that are fulfilled in these very verses, and there are only three verses. And we have first his absolute and unmistakable humanity. Some years ago, there was a song written. I really didn't like the title, and I kind of have to say I still don't. But it was a unique thought and a unique series of thoughts. And the song was entitled, "What a Strange Way to Save the World." And when you think about it, it was, and it is, isn't it? This is not the way that you would ever have assumed that God would ever have come to save his fallen humanity. You would almost assume, pick the world's greatest city of its day, in Jerusalem or Rome or wherever it might be, you would assume that God would have sent his only well-beloved son down to the greatest city. And he wouldn't be in swaddling clothes. He would be arrayed in the greatest regal royalty robing that royalty had ever seen. But he came as a little baby, a human. And it's a thing that we will never fully be able to not only understand, but to teach. You cannot teach what you cannot understand. And the thought that God became man absolutely defies human understanding. But are you not thankful for the humanity of Christ? You know, he is fully human while he is fully divine. And you cannot separate the two. Verily God, said a hymn writer 100 and some years ago, yet become truly human, lower than angels, to die in our place. It's a mystery of the ages. But knowing that we could never reach God, he came to reach us. And knowing how impossible it is for us to understand the reality of God, he took on human form so that you and I could look at what from all appearance was a human being and to see who God is and ultimately God, what God wanted. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah is Savior. And there we have his absolute deity and mission. Again, verily God, yet become truly human. And it's really sad, isn't it, in a sense, that a lot of the people today that have enjoyed Christmas season so far, and they get caught up in all the trappings and the shopping and the wrapping and all of those things, they fail to recognize that Christmas is not just a happy time of year for families to get together. And while it may not and probably is not the exact time of year in which the Lord Jesus was born, it is a time set aside for us to simply say, "Thank you, Lord, for the mystery of sending your Son with a mission to save his people from their sins." And so above and beyond all else today, and during this Christmas season, and our prayer for each other on Wednesday is that we might rejoice. Rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven and a Savior who loved us enough to die for us. He shall be great, verse 32, his inherent greatness. There are people that we know, just regular human beings, who their intellect or their talent that has been developed or something makes them great in the eyes of their peers. There are those who are considered the great kings and the great leaders, the great athletes, the great entertainers and the like. His greatness was inherent. He shall be great. And his eternal identity is the Son of the Highest. And we have here his title to David's throne, establishing him as Messiah. And here is the verse that thrills me, and of the phrase, "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Father, today, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for this one whose kingdom will never end. And we are the fortunate ones. Thank God for a kingdom that will never end, that we will be in, that we are part of, a kingdom that will never, ever, ever end. Thank you above all for your Son, for the one who came, and the one who very specifically came to die so that we might have eternal life. Perhaps, Father, each of us has loved ones or friends not saved. What a joy it would be in this special time of year if people that we love and that we know, possibly one here, we just don't know, that this will be the time of year when they meet this one born as a baby, but they meet him as their personal Savior. This is our prayer in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.